Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Sports City. Welcome back to the brunch. Let's go.
Woo! 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 Back and back, niggas. Out there for their purchase. We surely appreciate it. But you about to witness is my thoughts.
Just my thoughts, man.
Right or wrong, just what I was feeling at the time. You ever felt like this? Vibe with me.
Walk with a nigga, man.
Vibe with me.
Okay, okay, man. You know what? The call number is 929-477-2759. We got the next 60 minutes or more locked and loaded with Sports City. Y'all could have been anywhere else in the world, but y'all are here with this chef. And we are a week away, or not even, I want to say like 5 or 6 days away from All-Star Weekend, so we're nearing the NBA's halfway point, but they've already reached their 41-game mark. But we'll jump into a lot of that and a lot of interesting things that went down this weekend. Unfortunately, we missed a couple of days in the kitchen, but we are back in motion on this brunch. I have calling in from the Atlanta area. We have Matt in the building. Matt, welcome to the brunch. How are you feeling this morning? Matt, are you having technical difficulty? Can you hear me? Okay, I'm not sure if we are having technical difficulty. Matt, are you there? Can you hear me right now, Matt?
Hey, can you hear me, Ty?
Yeah, I got you now. How are you this morning?
I'm doing well. How are you, man? Did you have a good week?
Yeah, so far so good. Can't complain, man. How about yourself?
Not too bad. We actually got a little bit of snow in Atlanta.
A little bit. I've seen it. I got cousins down there, and they took a picture and turned around and said, no, I'm not in Connecticut. I'm in Georgia, and I've seen the snow, and I already know how bad when it snows, and it's just like rain snow out there, and everybody in Georgia goes crazy. I've seen how thick it was, and I had to open my mouth all like, oh, my goodness. Now I know they're going crazy down there. So yeah, it hasn't been a lot of traffic down there.
Yeah, the roads were packed. I went to the grocery store, and it was like it was Christmas. People were freaking out, but now all the snow is gone.
I know how bad it gets when they see snow. It's horrible, man. I know. But living up here is the norm, so it's like people try to, you know, adjust to the situation. Nobody's ready for snow, but, you know, you try to do the best that you can. But when they're not used to it, it's like, just like you said, I just know how the supermarkets look, and they're taking every little piece of bread, everything of water, then you can't grab anything. So I can just imagine, especially in the South where they eat hearty. So I already know it was crazy. Okay, so let me get into this show. We got 60 minutes here to get in and out of this kitchen as best as we can. I'm going to save the back end for the NBA and everything that happened this week. I'm going to go over the top 25 in college basketball, and we have some Dango Frazier situations. We have some Dango Frazier situations. So first and foremost, out of the gate, Baylor wins their game up against Oklahoma State 78-70. Gonzaga wins their game up against St. Mary's 90-60. Kansas wins their game up against TCU 60-46. San Diego State, which I will be coming right back to when I'm completed with this, wins their game up against Air Force 89-74. Louisville wins at home against Virginia, the defending champions, 80-73. Dayton wins their game up against St. Louis 71-65. Duke, I'm skipping this actually. I'll be back for this one too. That's like the cream of the crop of this. Another ACC rivalry, Florida State blows out Miami 99-81. Seton Hall and my little cousin Miles Powell helps lead Seton Hall over Villanova in a Big East matchup, 70-64. Miles got in foul trouble early too, so that's interesting that they pulled that one off. Auburn wins their game in a 1-point matchup up against LSU in the SEC battle, 91-90. Oklahoma wins their game, and down goes Frazier up against West Virginia, 69-59, and West Virginia is ranked at 13th. Oklahoma is unranked, and they lost. We have another down, goes Frazier. Oregon State, unranked, beat Oregon 63-53. Kentucky with their matchup up against Tennessee, 77-64. Down goes Frazier. Michigan knocks off Michigan State, 77-68. I watched a good portion of this game. Michigan State looked so flat. I didn't know what was going on in this game. Tom Izzo was going to have to rally the troops. But this is that Michigan battle, especially within the Big Ten. The Wolverines pulled this one off. Iowa wins their matchup up against Nebraska, 96-72. Creighton knocks off St. John's, 94-82. Penn State wins their game, 83-77 up against Minnesota. Another down goes Frazier, UCLA, especially with them losing Sharif O'Neal and him trying to pick out a college where he's going. They beat Arizona and Arizona, 65-52. And last but not least, Colorado beat Stanford 81-74, rounding out the top 25. Now, first and foremost, I don't understand why San Diego State is being ranked fourth. Like, I understand that the Mountain West, they don't play a lot of tough competition out there, but they're running the table. And this is the one thing that I have against the committee. If you feel this way, like, have them change the schedule or something. Like, put some tough games in the schedule somehow, because if they're doing good, you can't hold it against them. They're running the table. And you have teams that are in front of them with losses that you don't know how they're going to look until they get to the tournament. You're going to hold it against them. Will they be a number one ranked team when the tournament comes around? Because we're, I want to say, a month away, about 4 weeks. I was going to count four or five, but I'll say a month. We're about a month away from a lot of the conference tournaments and seeing how they, you know, fall into play. And then the committee starts to, you know, vote for the brackets and seeing where they go, either east, south, Midwest, or west, you know. So I want to see how that pans out. Hopefully San Diego State could keep this going and doing their thing. Now, one of the matches that I did skip was the Duke-North Carolina game, in which Duke wins this game 98-96, and they win it at the buzzer. Now, before I even get to how that went down, or I'm just going to give my thoughts on this situation, North Carolina had a 7-point lead with seconds on the clock and could not inbound the ball at one point in time in this game to, you know, either get a clean catch and, you know, get a foul and get to the line or whatever. Duke was turning them over and making this happen and to force an overtime. epic for Duke to get this done. And this is the one thing that I just don't like about Coach K, because he gets the best out of all his players. And this is one of the years that people have to take advantage of Duke, because Duke doesn't have a flat-out shooter like they normally do, and they still were able to pull this off in overtime at the buzzer up against North Carolina. Now, I'm not saying I respect Roy Williams. I'm not saying to get rid of him. He just has to recruit better, and I know he's dealing with a good amount of injuries, because they are injured, but this has to be the worst North Carolina team I've seen ever. Ever. I can't think of a North Carolina team that's been under 500 and not being able to inbound the ball, you know, confidently and relying on one freshman out of everybody on the roster. I understand that they're dealing with injuries, like I said, but this is tough. And I know that Roy Williams has a heavy heart and, you know, he's dealing with, you know, passing Dean Smith, so on and so forth. But you got to go out there and coach. You got to be able to get the ball inbound. You're not even losing off of missed shots. You're losing off of not being able to advance the ball. Crazy situation for Duke to pull this off and the way that it happened. And it was a bouncing ball that went in and called North Carolina the game when they had the game at hand in the latter part of this game. I'm stunned on how Duke was able to pull this off. I really thought North Carolina had this game in hand. I walked away from the TV. And they said it's overtime. I'm like, how? Like, it was seconds on the clock, and they were up seven. And they came back. They were like, you know, Duke forced them overtime. So, man, your thoughts on the situation on the top 25, some of the games that I may have mentioned. Definitely the thriller that took place in Chapel Hill. And if you have anything to say towards San Diego State, with them being 24-0 at this point in time.
I love it. I love college basketball. Huge fan. You know, you brought up some great points. I'm sitting here looking at San Diego State's schedule. I pulled it up, and they, like you said, they beat everybody they played. They beat, excuse me one second, there's a fire truck going through. Sorry about that. San Diego State took down Creighton, which is a pretty good team. That's a turning team. They beat Iowa, who blew out someone yesterday. They beat Utah. I mean, they beat Utah. I mean, they've beaten everybody. So, like you said, do they deserve a number one ranking? I think time will tell on that. I mean, I think they'll have their say. They may get a number one seed if they run the table and win their tournament, which, by all accounts, I don't see. The only team that played them close, it looks like, was UNLV in the conference. So look for for them to get a rematch against UNLV in the conference tournament. That should be a good game. As far as North Carolina, I don't think we've ever seen North Carolina so low in terms of wins, losses. With wins, they're so low, and overall ranking is bad. And like you said, they lost some players. Their only chance, very, very, very slim, is to win the ACC tournament, and that is going to be near impossible with who they have on the floor. And, yes, the Dean Smith situation is very sad, but, you know, at the end of the day, they should have closed out yesterday. To quote Dennis Green, they let them off the hook. I mean, I don't know how you can't inbound the ball once you reach the collegiate level. You know, that's a little bit on the coaching, I think. I mean, yes, the players have to execute, but you better draw up some new plays against Duke. Duke escapes. You know, Duke is still, in my eyes, a top 10, top 15 team. They are a little bit down in years past, but they're still a threat. It's going to be interesting to see how it shapes up. Florida State is also looking very good in the ACC. They're a solid overall team. Leonard Hamilton's been there forever. He's built a solid program. I really didn't think he was a great coach, but he's starting to prove me wrong. So I'm starting to believe in Florida State. I think they suffocated Miami yesterday. But yeah, you gotta feel for UNC. I don't see any way to get in the tournament. Ty, what do you think?
Any shot? I'm going to, like, supersede that situation and say they are not making a tournament. I think they'll be NIT bound. And I don't look at the ACC being a threat, but for them to be in ACC and playing this bad, they're 3-9 in conference play. I have never seen North Carolina at this state ever. Like, I can't think of a poor played North Carolina team. And I'm going back as far as the tip of the 80s. Like, I can't, like, even when Kenny Smith was there, like, they weren't bad. Like, they were competitive. And for Cole Anthony to be as good as he is, to be Greg Anthony's son, and knowing that he can shoot from anywhere, and he's trying his best not to be the selfish, looking like the gunner type of player. Like, he wanted to get everybody involved, and it was working. Everybody was involved. For them to be up 7, well, let me say it after that point, when they were up 10 at the beginning of that one-minute mark, and Duke hit a 3, they cut it to 7. Like, it was seconds on the clock. Like, it was less than, like, 30 seconds. And for them to be able to force overtime because you guys can't get the ball inbound is ridiculous. Now, I know the situation with Roy Williams and him not wanting to pass Dean Smith because Dean Smith is his mentor, somebody he looked up to and gives all of his credit to. And I love that about Roy Williams, how selfless he is. And when he passed Dean Smith, he started crying because he, you know, it was an emotional feat, knowing that this guy taught you everything. I know that. But you can – Roy, you passed him. You got to live on. Like, you got to move on. Dean has been gone. You got to do it, man. That's records are meant to be broken. Go out there and be successful. Draw up the best way that you can. When they were inbounding the ball, they were trapping Cole Anthony. Cole Anthony didn't know what to do with a Duke trap. Duke doesn't trap well. Like, they aren't the blitzing defense that you're thinking of. Duke is an offensive powerhouse. I'm not looking at these guys as stopping people defensively. And I think they're, just like you said, a top 10. I think they're a top 15 team. They're getting more respect than they're supposed to get. Like, they lost games and they didn't fall out of the top 10. They lost 2 in 1 week. And they just got by North Carolina. North Carolina is nowhere near being ranked at this point in time. I'm not buying what Duke is selling right now. Even though you have to respect them because it is a Coach K team. Coach K's been through every environment, but I'm not buying this by any means. So, Roy Williams, like I said, I don't want to see him fired. That's one thing I don't want to see. I know that he's been trying to duck the spotlight and stay out of the way. He don't want none of the recognition because he's so selfless, you know, and he loves Dean Smith and he loves North Carolina. He just wanted to, you know, do this quietly. But you can't. You're a big name in college basketball. I don't understand how you keep ducking this. And just like you said, Leonard Hamilton is definitely a good coach and doing this thing, having Florida State ranked in the top 10, and they definitely will end up probably moving up depending on how the committee looks. We'll see how it does look because we'll see tomorrow. I just want to see we'll see how it does pan out. But I think that they'll end up moving up before it's all said and done. Thursday has been playing some good ball. But like I said, in the past 4 or 5 years, I don't think the ACC has been as strong as we know them to be. They always have like a good, strong four teams that make noise, and everybody thinks the ACC as a whole is a powerhouse. No, it's only the ones that make the noise at the top. But I'm stunned at the way North Carolina lost that game. And San Diego State, I hope that they do something, but you're going to have to hope for Kansas to lose or Baylor to lose for them to move up. Gonzaga is shaky. I want to see how that does pan out, but I don't think they'll move them up just because of what conference they're in. And I don't like when they usually hold that against Gonzaga because I'm always the one crying for Gonzaga to move up. And it, you know, Gonzaga has to deal with the conference that they play in. So it's unfortunate. It's where they're based in the country. They can't have teams cross, you know, traveling across the country all season long, so I understand. But all in all, you can't hold that against the team, especially while they're taking care of business within their schedule. Okay. And anything else you'd like to say before I get away from that?
The only thing I forgot to mention was I didn't actually get to see the highlight. In the overtime of the Duke-North Carolina, there was a controversial no call. I believe my gut says it was supposed to be on Duke, some sort of offensive foul that wasn't called, but I'd have to double-check the highlight. But that, you know, that doesn't help, but you can't make excuses because I'm sure they blew some calls in North Carolina's favor. So, you know, it goes both ways, but I heard it was under 10 seconds in overtime where they actually they totally missed the call. But that happens. That's part of sports.
Of course, just like you said, that happens, but you got to – I don't care where they play at, right? It is always going to be like a referee that has some type of inkling to feeling sorry for Coach K, especially when he's losing. It's like they're going to give him some call where you just clap your hands like, oh, my goodness, I can't believe this is happening. So you got to be ready for that. Like, at all costs, you got to be ready for that. You got to be able to withstand the refs. You got to withstand a run, you know, like knowing that Duke is going to go on a run and get pumped up and probably go on a 5 or 7-0 run to get back into the game. You got to be ready for all of that. And for the way that Duke stole that game from North Carolina, I tip my hat to Duke because they won the game. But for North Carolina to lose that game in that fashion, where that 7 points is a 3-possession game, there's 30 seconds on the clock for you for the shot clock, and you weren't able to dry that clock out. I'm stunned. I'm stunned. But I know he's dealing with injuries. He's got to get these guys back healthy, but I don't think it'll help him this season. It'll definitely spill into next season. And we'll see how Cole Anthony looks next year, especially with a guy, a guard that's coming in that's from – he's actually from Stanford, but he goes to school in White Plains. And R.J. Davis, watch out for him, because I think he'll end up being a shooting guard and Cole Anthony will be the point guard. But he's from here, and I know the entire Davis family, so shout out to the Davises. But North Carolina hopefully will have a brighter future next season, but right now it's not looking good. It's not. I think they're definitely NIT bound, and that's if they accept that invitation. Okay, I'm going to get into the NBA. I want to see how you feel about the trade deadline because it actually helped you out somewhat. Your thoughts on some of the trades, in which I'll start where you are in Georgia. Atlanta gets Clint Capella and Nene. How do you feel about that move with Houston dumping their big man, and they are really buying into small ball at this point in time?
Yeah, I'm pretty happy to hear that. We needed some post players that should help out with Collins. That's exciting for Atlanta. And surprisingly, you know, I think Atlanta's they've overachieved this year. They've done a little bit better than people thought. We got, you know, Trae Young out there, and then we got Collins back, and now we got Capella and Nene coming in. I think the future, believe it or not, it should look bright for Atlanta. You know, hopefully we can get maybe another solid wingman in the draft. And I think the sky's the limit next year. I don't want to make any bold proclamations, but they should be able to maybe make the playoffs next year in the Eastern Conference.
Big state claim. I like that. This is the push that they need. Well, here goes the interesting thing. Now they have a big that they can be confident in, even though, you know, you got some quality players down there. You also have a cousin of mine down there, Charlie Brown, who's actually having to wait for Vince, you know, to get this farewell tour out the way. So I've been watching Atlanta closely because my cousin's a rookie, And he only gets it when it's like, you know, a blowout or, you know, they'll let him in the game, but he's a shooting guard. But Clint Capela and Nene, and I wonder how many years Nene has left. And Nene's getting up there in years, and he's a bench player that doesn't really get time. But I don't agree with Houston moving Clint Capela. Like, it's bad that I don't care. I'm in the kitchen. It's bad that this is what Mike D'Antoni has turned into, knowing that he does not stress defense. He has players that don't play defense at all other than P.J. Tucker. P.J. Tucker is the only one that plays defense. Clint Capela was the other player that plays defense. And you're letting him go and trying to outscore everybody. I know that's the name of the game, but there's going to be some point in time, especially when they get into the playoffs, that Houston is going to need stops to win games. And they're just hoping for people to miss shots so they can force the ball down court and play with pace. Because they're number one in the NBA in pace, which I understand because Harden likes to get on the break, and Russ is probably one of the fastest guards in the league. So that's a benefit to them. But if they run into a team that can withstand the speed and load up the paint so these guys have to make jump shots and they're missing, this could actually hurt Houston. And then I really start looking at D'Antoni some more, because this is year after year after year that something bad happens in the season, and not injury-wise, but Mike D'Antoni where it falls apart. You look at the situation when he was in Phoenix with Steve Nash and Rajah Bell and them. They did not play defense. The only one that was playing defense was Sean Marion. They ended up losing. And then you get him in New York. That was right here. D'Antoni was in the newspaper almost every damn day because he wasn't stressing defense. And then that's when everybody started looking at Carmelo Anthony like, Carmelo don't play defense. And then, you know, he gets down to Houston, and then he's dealing with Harden. And Harden already didn't play defense. And you already got D'Antoni trying to load up on the offensive side and not worry about defense. This is now happening where they're trying to just outrun teams to see if they can outscore you and see how this works. And a team bit them in their backside just this week playing the doggone Phoenix Suns. And the Phoenix Suns damn near won by like 30, 40 points in that game. So it's like, I don't know how this is going to work. They got rid of a big, and they're in the big loaded Western Conference. We'll see how that all works out. But I think this is a huge miss by Houston. This is a big pickup, like Matt said, for Atlanta, especially with a whole bunch of young guards, and they have a solid big that has postseason play. So he could actually, you know, talk confidence into these guys as youth, because I can't really look at Vince past this season. So they're going to need somebody, you know, to be in that huddle, be in that locker room to get these guys up. So that's one. The second thing I wanted to get into was the move of Andre Iguodala. And knowing that he was sitting out all season because he did not want to play with the Memphis Grizzlies, the Grizzlies were able to unload him and send him to Miami, where I know he's ready to go because Miami's playing good ball right now. Your thoughts on Iguodala going to Miami, in which the likes of Dylan Brooks and Ja Morant were telling Memphis to get rid of him so we could show him how good we are. I mean, your thoughts on that situation as well.
Correct me if I'm wrong. I'm sure he's probably the oldest player now on the Heat roster. So that's a critical key pickup veteran that the locker room needs. I think he'll be rejuvenated.
Actually,
he'll come out there and he will show kids how to play.
Actually, no, he's not. Udonis Haslem is the oldest on that team.
Oh, wow. He still plays. I honestly was not aware of that.
Right. Udonis Haslem is still there. But still, yeah, you can proceed because Udonis doesn't really get on the floor, but go ahead.
Yeah, I think it's a good pickup. I think he'll be ready, and the Heat, they're going to be a dangerous team in the playoffs. I feel like they're the fourth or fifth team. I don't know what the seeding says, but just based off last year with Milwaukee, Boston, Philly, what was the other team? Anyway, they're right there in the pack.
I was saying Toronto. I would give you Toronto.
Yeah, Toronto.
I'm sorry.
Well, yeah, the champs. I can't believe I forgot them. But yeah, so they're probably. I'm not sure what the seeding is, but they're going to be right there. Whoever is the one seed, if they're playing them in the second round, that's going to be a dangerous matchup. I mean, that's an upset city all over it, and I think adding Andre is huge. And even if he's not, you know, stats wise, even if that's if he doesn't come up big with stats, he will come up big with leadership and experience, and probably, you know, grabbing some of these young guys and, you know, helping them out in the future. And it should be very interesting to see how the Heat do in the playoffs.
Now, here goes the interesting thing, right? So I'm going to give you the top four that you just mentioned. Milwaukee's number one, which I think they will not let go of that lead. Milwaukee will end up being the number one team in the entirety of the playoffs. Number two is Toronto. The Toronto Raptors, I need to pay attention to you more. And on the next Crossover Cafe, I will be discussing you, including with my cousin going down with an injury. Norm Powell has broken a bone in his fourth metacarpal. But in this situation, in the last three games, that's when he broke the metacarpal. The Toronto Raptors are on a 14-game winning streak. Like, they are on complete fire. Their hair is on fire. The Boston Celtics are third on a 6-game winning streak. And if Miami sits at fourth with a 2-game losing streak, mind you. And they're still playing good ball. Even though they've had a 2-game losing streak, they're 500 at this point in time. Philly's right behind them at 5, right? I agree with you, Matt, that if Milwaukee wins that first series, I think Miami can have enough firepower to knock off Milwaukee. Milwaukee's been playing incredible at this point in time in the season. But I don't think they have enough guns to go to war with a team that has shooting and can play defense. And Miami is doing that with shooting and a defender and Jimmy Butler. I think this will definitely be tough. All Miami needs to do is to go into Milwaukee and steal one game. That's all they have to do is steal one game and then force us back to South Beach and win everything back home. And they can go 6 or 7 games if they want to. They'll end up taking it from Milwaukee. I think Milwaukee is a Giannis and bust situation. I mean, I do respect Middleton. Middleton has had some good games this season. But I think this is all, filter, if you will, or, a smokescreen that they've been playing outside of their minds at this point in time. But I feel like in the playoffs, they will get stopped somewhere. And there's a potential, just like you said, for Miami to be that second-round knockout that Milwaukee's going to have to take be aware of, that this team is – they have shooters that can space you out. They have shooters that's coming off the bench. They have a young rookie in Kendrick Nunn and Tyler Herro that have been, the talk of the league at this point in time. So watch out for that, and especially with Iguodala. I just want to see how Spoelstra is able to use him in defensive schemes and knowing that Iguodala has championship goals and has been a part of 3 different championship teams in Golden State, what he's able to do to come up with stops, especially in that type of game going up against Milwaukee. But that depends on if they still stay at 4 or they move down to 5 and Philly moves up. I want to see how that does pan out. But that is something to pay attention to as well. The next trade that I do want to talk about, this one is the one that made my eyebrows just go like to my hair, was the Minnesota Timberwolves trading Andrew Wiggins to the Golden State Warriors for D'Angelo Russell. Now, I understand this is crazy to me, right? Because Andrew Wiggins is one of the bigger names a part of Minnesota. And if you've been a part of Sports City for, I want to say, the past 2-3 months, week after week, we've been talking about Andrew Wiggins, especially in the Crossover Cafe, right? And it goes back and forth. You get some people that support him, and you get people like me that are like, I'm not buying it. He's streaky. He'll have a game where he'll go off for like 41, and he'll have a game where he'll have 15 or 12. And it's like, wait, where are you? Like, where's the consistency? And I know you practice on your game. So it's like, what's happening? And then he gets his first game in Golden State and goes off with 24. And it's like, okay, are you more free-spirited, even though Steph Curry and Klay Thompson are not there? Do you feel more confident in your game there? Because you should be feeling that way in Minnesota while this team was basically under your thumb with Cat. But something was going on with him and Cat. And a lot of people questioning his heart. Like when Jimmy Butler was there, saying that this guy doesn't play with heart. Well, actually, both of them. He was talking about him and Cat. So now he's there. Now you get D'Angelo Russell, right? And here's the crazy part about D'Angelo Russell. He had an all-star season last year with the Brooklyn Nets. The Brooklyn Nets don't bring him back and send him to Golden State. Something had to be wrong in Brooklyn. Like if there's smoke, there's fire. So something had to be going on in Brooklyn to make them get rid of him. They send him to Golden State while Steph, Clay, Draymond was dealing with injuries as well. They got rid of Kevin Durant in the same season, and it still didn't work. It's like, wait, what's going on with D'Angelo Russell, right? So they get him to Minnesota, and they're saying that it's going to change because him and Kat are close friends. I don't get it. I want to see how this ends up panning out in Minnesota with their first couple of games. Minnesota was able to pull off a win and end their losing streak. They were on a bad losing streak, but they beat the Clippers at that too. So your thoughts on the Wiggins-Russell trade, if you support it, or your thoughts on it in general, Matt?
Well, yeah, I think
Minnesota needed to make a move. That was big. They had been reeling, and it looks like, you know, I didn't check the highlights or anything from yesterday, but yeah, they blew the Clippers out, and that was that game in L.A. I believe that's kind of a big win, and they needed it, and it looks like a very good trade for them. I think another trade winner was the Memphis Grizzlies. You know, they got Justice Winslow, but they made a ton of moves that really has Memphis in the right direction. I know we didn't really bring them up, but they look like an up and coming team as well.
Up and coming, and the crazy part about it is that they are in the playoff hunt right now as the eighth seed. But there's a lot of storm going on behind them in the Western Conference. This is the bad part. As much pressure it is on them, and I'm saying get rid of Andre Iguodala and let's see how we play, right? Memphis is sitting at the eighth seed at 26-26, so they're 500. Portland is 24-29 behind them by 2.5 games, right? Portland has been on fire since, and forgive me if I'm saying the wrong thing, God forgive me, since Kobe's passing. Ever since Kobe passed away, Damian Lillard has taken it personal, and anybody that's been playing Portland has been seeing him put up more than 40 points every single night. Well, let me get it right. 40 points and 10 assists every single night since Kobe has passed away. And they got robbed the last game, I want to say, Friday night when they played Utah. To tie the game, Dame Lillard goes to the rim. He throws a layup off the glass, and Rudy Gobert blocks it after it hits the glass. The refs don't call goaltend, and it's a clear goaltend, and they end up losing the game after that play. And knowing Portland is trying to get the revenge tour back as soon as they get full health from the player that they're missing, because Nurkic is out, one of their bigs, but they've been doing well with Hassan Whiteside. But it's like they can't give up any ground. And knowing that they have to catch up to Dallas and take advantage of the Dallas Mavericks at this point in time because Luka Doncic is out with an injury. This is tough at the bottom of the Western Conference. I don't really believe in the Spurs. The Spurs are slowly falling. They had an interesting loss the other day as well. The Pelicans are trying to surge with Zion getting back, but they just suffered an injury with Brandon Ingram, their all-star, so he may miss the all-star game. It's a bad injury that the Pelicans were, you know, suffering at this point in time. But at the bottom of the Western Conference, it's tough for the Grizzlies to stay afloat with the youth that they have, and they lost a veteran that didn't even want to be a part of the team. He wasn't even in the locker room with the Memphis Grizzlies. So if they could steer the ship and do what they can to make the playoffs, it'd be awesome. But you have to think about this. Now make the playoffs and play LeBron. The first series, like so. If you want them to play the Lakers out the gate, that'll be a very tough situation for a young team. But it'll be good experience for them in the future to go up against likely one of the best players in the league, and LeBron James and Anthony Davis as well, especially going on the road and dealing with that Los Angeles environment. So, it this is a feel good story. Memphis is a young up and coming team with Jaren Jackson, Ja Morant, Dylan Brooks, just to name a few of the notables. But we'll see if they stay there or if they move. It depends on what Dallas looks like when Luka gets back. Because Dallas has been trying to survive the storm as much as possible without Luka. Okay. Let's keep going. Anything else that you'd like to add before I just get away from that? I didn't want to, you know, leave that open-ended like that. But your thoughts on that?
Yeah, can you imagine the odds of Memphis beating the Lakers in the playoffs? That's probably going to be very juicy. But yeah, that Utah game with the Portland that you brought up, that hurt some people in Vegas. That was a terrible call. But yeah, I think Lillard is, he was one of the closest to Kobe of the current players, maybe besides LeBron James and Kawhi Leonard.
Because Kawhi worked out with him. Also, the player that took it personal was Kyrie Irving, because Kyrie played with him on the USA team, and everybody remembers that little clip that they had. He was telling Kobe he could burn him one-on-one, and Kobe was telling him no, that you're going to end up costing yourself, and Kyrie took it personal. Chris Paul took it personal because they got a close relationship for all they've been through the year that they played, and also on the Olympic team as well. Chris Paul actually sat out Kyrie as well, so I know a lot of people took that personal, but it, you know, the passing of Kobe, like, I'm going to be honest, I still don't feel like it's real. Like, I feel like Kobe's going to pop out of a box somewhere and be like, I'm joking. Like, I do not feel it. Like, well, I mean, I feel it, but it's like, yeah, I can't believe it happened. You know what I'm saying? So it's tough. And just like I said, that mama mentality is soaked in the Damian Lillard. If he's able to keep this team pushing as best as he can, especially outside of that situation that just happened in Utah, and force them to get into the playoffs somehow, some way, that's a team to watch out for, especially with the Carmelo Anthony that is trying to prove himself that he could be out there and be a part of the NBA. And they've been losing games, winning games. So I don't know. We'll see how Portland ends up getting into the situation. Another shocking trade, and I can't believe this one, is the Detroit Pistons send Andre Drummond to the Cleveland Cavaliers. Talk about shocking, right? And then talk about disrespecting him. Like, okay. So, knowing that Andre Drummond, to me, played the hardest basketball he's played ever since he left college, left UConn out here in Connecticut, right? He's been getting damn near 20-20 games at will. He gets you 20 rebounds and 20 points. All he has to do is score the ball 10 times. He's got 20 points. He just does it at a consistent clip, and you get rid of him to Cleveland, and there's nothing there in Cleveland except Kevin Love, Tristan Thompson, Colin Sexton, right? And knowing Kevin Love is trying his best to leave Cleveland, like, he wants out of there so bad, you sit on the drum in there, like just to beat that to me is so disrespectful to Andre Drummond. I feel so bad for him being a Connecticut kid and knowing that what he was able to bring, and they bring this is the crazy part, that they get John Henson, who's been a passed-around travelman since he left North Carolina, injury-prone, too, and Brandon Knight, another injury-prone guy that returns back to Detroit, another guard that was in Detroit, too. And everybody remembers him when he was in Detroit before. He got dunked on real bad by DeAndre Jordan off that lob from Chris Paul, and he's been a highlight since that happened. And, but I feel bad for Andre Drummond going to a team like the Cavs that they're trying to rebuild themselves, and Detroit was in a bad situation trying to rebuild themselves too. I don't know how they point the finger at him when he's the piece that you try, to me, I feel need to build around, but they were saying that he was trade talk for a while. Your thoughts on Andre Drummond going to Cleveland?
Stunner, Ty. I don't, like you said, I don't think anybody saw this coming. You know, whether he'll stay, I saw a Cavs fan, and he was pretty trying to be optimistic, but I don't see why, you know, why he would stay. You know, his contract next season is under question. So, but yeah, I can't believe Detroit did this. I really don't get it. It's shocking. That was the biggest the stunner, I think, in all the trades.
Here goes the crazy part, right? You get rid of Andre Drummond, right? You got an injury-prone Reggie Jackson there that just came back, a week ago, right? You got a super, 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 super injury-prone Blake Griffin who has one of those contracts don't nobody want to pick up, and knowing that he's going to try and force his way out of Detroit because of how bad it looks, right? And then you have one of the situations that is still working my heart, even though I've never been a fan of any team that he's been on, but I love him as a basketball player, and Derrick Rose. You traded the wrong player. You traded a youthful big that could bring you success in the future. He's not injury-prone or nothing. And you got guys that are ready to leave your organization or be on and off the floor because of their injury situation. And you keep Derrick Rose there to make him score 27, 30 points a night off the bench, and you still lose. Like, you think he wants to sit there and waste his career in Detroit? In Detroit, who's going to waste their time in Detroit when you just got rid of Andre Drummond and got Blake Griffin soaking up all of the money from that contract that he pulled from the Clippers? Like, this is bugged out. I don't know how to look at this situation for the Detroit Pistons. This is ridiculous. Andre Drummond, I hope somehow, some way, Cleveland is able to be, I want to say, like, playoff relevant next year or in 2 years. I want to give it because I know there's no way that they make the playoffs now, but. You know, just to be fair to him, man, I just don't like what they did to him. That disrespectful for the ability that he has and what he's been able to give this organization. Detroit, you could have been better. You could have been better. That's all I really have to say about that, especially for the pieces that you traded him for. You traded him for a draft pick in the second round in 2023. And John Henson and Brandon Knight, like, this This is what Andre Drummond is worth. Yeah, that's unbelievable. Unbelievable. I'm getting away from it because I'm getting frustrated. Okay, so that's the end of many of the trades that did happen. Is there any other trade that you'd like to talk about? I'm missing one. I feel bad, and I'm going here, Sports City. The Washington Wizards trade Isaiah Thomas to the Los Angeles Clippers, right? This hurts me, like what I'm about to say, Sports City. They trade him there. Isaiah Thomas's birthday was Thursday. Oh, this is when the trade happened, right? They waive him as soon as he gets there. He is jobless on his birthday. Talk about disrespectful. Like, okay.
Damn.
One, I know. I'm heartfelt. The reason why it hurt me because of this, what Isaiah Thomas has gone through in the past three or four seasons. When he was in Boston, he was on top of the world, Boston, and Danny Ainge, you owe it to him. Pick him up. He out there on the open. He's on the free market. Go get him because you traded him for Kyrie Irving, and Kyrie's not there no more. Kyrie was injured the first season with you. The second season, he played and left. He only played two seasons with you, really a season, but he was there for 2 years. And you got rid of Isaiah Thomas because you knew Kyrie was better than him, and Kyrie left you high and dry just like you did Isaiah Thomas. You owe Isaiah Thomas. Go get him. Because Boston still loves him. They still clap when he comes around there. Now, the Clippers, I understand that you guys are already set with what you got there, but just to wave him on his birthday, give him another week or so. Like it's his birthday. And the reason why it's so heartfelt with me and Isaiah Thomas is the way that he was in Boston when his sister died during the playoffs and he couldn't really play because he was, like, so emotional, crying on the bench because he lost his sister. Like, and I know it's a business. I understand it's a business, but, like, this guy is a good player. The only thing that Isaiah hurts him is his size, and he doesn't play defense. Like, he can't play defense because of his size. Like, you have to get a team that will load up and play defense with him, but Boston was doing that at that point in time while he was there. They got to the Eastern Conference Finals and lost to LeBron. Like, LeBron was too big for their small forwards. It wasn't Isaiah Thomas. Isaiah was still putting up points at a good clip, so... It bothers me. I want to see Isaiah back out there. Hopefully a team picks him up because he has scoring capability. He was on a bad team with the Wizards. The Wizards are bad, as bad as I feel like I'm talking about Scott Brooks, and he was the former coach of the Thunder. But something has to give. Clippers, I'm shocked that you did that to him on his birthday. But somebody out there, first inning, Denny, go out there and at least kick the wheel on Isaiah Thomas to see how he does play. Your thoughts on the situation with IT being let go of by the Wizards and the Clippers within the same week?
Yeah, like you said, I guess what I kind of wanted to mention, the Clippers were able to get Marcus Morris, and I think the Lakers had talked about maybe trying to get him. So that was maybe a power move. The Clippers are, you know, trying to show the Lakers, you know, that what time it is. Yeah, it's too bad about IT. I'm sure he'll bounce back. I'd love to see him in Atlanta. You know, if it was an option, he would be a pretty solid backup for Trae Young.
Yeah, but he already has Jeff Teague there. Jeff Teague just came there from Minnesota. Minnesota's having a fire sale, getting rid of everybody. So I think they would be loaded at the point guard position. It'd be interesting to see if they did pull the trigger on him and have all three of them down there, but when IT gets in there, you're going to have the right set because IT is similar to Trae Young. They're both smaller guards. Like, they don't play good D, so it'd be tough to have two guards. Like, they're going to overexert themselves defensively, especially with the Hawks. So, but we'll see how it does pan out moving forward. Okay, to get into the score roundup for yesterday, Saturday's games in the NBA, and get your thoughts and opinions, and then we'll get out of here. First and foremost, just like we talked about, the Milwaukee Bucks go down to Mickey Mouse Land and beat up on the Magic 111-95. The Mavericks win their game up against the Hornets in a payback because the Hornets won the game earlier this week. Mavericks win 116-100, in which at one point in time, Seth Curry went 10-for-10, including threes. And at this point in time, his father was in the crowd in attendance for the Charlotte Hornets because that's what Del Curry spent a good amount of his time on the Hornets roster, and the Curry family still lives in Charlotte, in which Seth Curry passed Steph Curry all-time three-point percentage with, you know, active players that are playing in the NBA. So Seth Curry is the leader in the NBA actively. The Knicks beat the Pistons, and I'm happy somebody beat the Pistons, let alone it's the Knicks, because the Knicks are playing bad basketball, and they beat the Pistons with that move that I just talked about with Andre Iguodala. In a close game in Detroit, this game took place 95-92, the Knicks win. The Knicks are winning some interesting games as of late, too. I'm wondering what's going on. The Raptors win their game up against the Nets, 119-118, a one-point victory over the Nets. Like I said earlier, the Raptors are on a 14-game winning streak. I repeat, a 14-game winning streak. And people are not talking about this at all. And they are the defending champs, so I just don't get why people aren't talking about Toronto. I will be talking about them all week long. The Pelicans win their game 124-117 up against the Pacers, in which, like I said, they were playing without Zion Williamson. Zion sat out, and Ingram is nursing a sprained ankle that he suffered this week, too. So, and it's like I said, it's a threat to see if Ingram does come around and play in the All-Star game. I think he will try to force himself out there on the court, but it might be a short turnaround because he is a franchise player right now for the New Orleans Pelicans. But they win their game up against the Pacers. The Pacers are slowly turning in the wrong direction. We'll see if they turn this back around. The game that we spoke about a little earlier as well, the Clippers go to Minnesota. It didn't take place in L.A., Matt. It was in Minnesota, though. But still yet, the Timberwolves win this game 142-115 in a four-quarter game. It wasn't like an overtime game when the score was crazy, especially against the Clippers. They beat the Clippers by 27 points. About 27, right? In which Kawhi played. Like, and knowing that the Clippers played defense, and Cat only had 22 points, 13 rebounds, 9 assists, he damn had a triple-double, but it's like, wait, what's going on with the Timberwolves team? They beat one of the best teams in the Western Conference. They beat the team that the Lakers can't figure out at all, and they beat them convincingly. Like, I don't get it. I don't know what's going on with both of these teams. Listen, it's something about the Clippers. Like, okay, I'm going to say it like this. I feel the Clippers have enough to beat the Lakers consistently. I don't believe that they will win the championship. There's something about this team. And they're so hung up on, oh, Kawhi load management and Paul George load management. Like, come on. Enough. Y'all get enough rest. Y'all get enough rest. Y'all should be able to do it. Somebody, whoever they play next, the Clippers are going to beat the crap out of, especially if they're in Staples Center. Somebody's going to lose real bad because this is a bad loss. A team that just traded away one of their franchise players, and they're learning with D'Angelo Russell and company, and they got it done and beat you guys by damn near 30. The Lakers go into San Francisco because it's no longer in Oakland, into the Chase Arena, and knock off the Warriors 125-120 in a closer game. The Warriors try to fight back to get into this game. The Nuggets won their game up against Phoenix in Phoenix 117-108. And to round out the scores for the night, the Kings beat the Spurs 122-102, in which I said I'll get back to the Spurs. The Spurs, I said this at the beginning of the season, before any game was played, I know I don't believe in the Spurs to make the playoffs, right? Looking at the Spurs right now, they are 8-18 on the road. They can't win on the road. There's no shot value or no threat on this team other than LaMarcus Aldridge and DeMar DeRozan. There's no threat outside of these two. If you can let them go off. Like, let L.A. go off and get a 40-point night, and let DeMar go off and get a 30-point night. The rest of the team, like, they have to show that they can play consistent ball, especially for a Kings team that's up and coming. I don't want to totally throw them under the bus, but they're up and coming. For them to come up with a 20-point win up against a Coach Popovich-led team, I'm not buying the Spurs right now. They're 18-8 on the road. Like I said, they're 14-12 at home. So they lose at home as much as they do on the road. So that's one thing I'm saying about the Spurs, too. The Warriors, I want to see how they pan out because soon they said Seth Curry will be coming back. So Steph will be coming back. They said at the latter part of February or early March, right before his birthday. So I don't know why Steph wants to come back, especially the way that the Warriors look this season. It's not worth it. But it's interesting to see that he's trying to make a push, especially be out here with Wiggins. There's no playoff caliber for the Warriors, in which the Warriors are 12-41. They're already, if they won out, they'd be 500. Like, they'd have to win every single game to be 500. And I don't think a 41-41 record would get them to the playoffs. Like, I don't think so. So that's it on the roundup of the games. Matt, your thoughts on any of the games that may have caught your eye or something that you'd like to talk about with the game that took place yesterday?
Yeah, I think the Warriors are what they have on TNT whenever a team is eliminated, gone fishing. So they are in the boat.
Right.
But, yeah, Ty, you saw yesterday that even if the players traded or not in the lineups yet, you saw an impact, whether it be positive or negative. I'll give two examples. The negative one, obviously, the Pistons. We talked about it. Yesterday you had a negative result. They lost not really a great team in the Knicks, but a team that Detroit should beat. Probably with Drummond, they would have beat.
Mm-hmm.
But they go ahead and lay an egg at home, and I'm sure their fans were pissed off because they've had loyal fans for years. So I know there was probably a lot of fans that were not happy at that game yesterday about Andre Drummond getting traded over to Cleveland. A positive result, he wasn't in the lineup yet for Minnesota, but the Minnesota team responded, I think, with a lot of positivity to the trade they made, and they showed it on the floor. And like I stated, they blew out the Clippers, and that just goes to show you the psyche of teams when there's a good trade versus a bad trade and how much of a difference it can make right away. I don't think anybody saw Minnesota winning the game yesterday. Not only did they win, they won by 25-plus, against supposedly a dominant Clippers team, which I kind of agree with you, Ty. I don't think the Clippers are going to be able to pull it out. That was my preseason pick. Obviously, it's preseason for a reason. A lot of things change, and I think it's too much to put on Leonard's shoulders. He doesn't have the supporting cast he had in Toronto. I can go ahead and safely probably eliminate the Clippers from winning it all.
And this is the crazy part, like, he does have a supporting cast. Like, I can't like agree with you to that extent. He does have a good supporting cast, but the consistency isn't there. They are damn near 500 on the road. They can't play away from the Staples Center. They're 14-11, so they're three games away from being 500. But when they get to the Staples Center, they're around that aura of LA, and they got that new floor. Like, the Lakers already does the purple and gold. Well, now they do black and white flooring, and they'll wear the black and white jersey instead of wearing the usual red, white, and blue, even though they will wear it. But I think that they feel like a different aura when they're at home. But, like, Paul George did play, and Kawhi did play, and the low management is still in effect, right? So they lost this bad, and I think they rested these guys because of how bad the score was. Kawhi played 28 minutes. Paul George played 26 minutes. And somehow, some way, it's not working. And I know when the playoffs come, it's going to be a different beast. You're going to see a different Kawhi. You're going to see a different, quote-unquote, playoff P. But I've seen him the past two seasons, and he fell asleep the past two seasons in the playoffs. So, and he's only gotten older. So we'll see how that pans out. But they have Lou Williams coming off the bench. They have Green coming off the bench. They have Magruder's an interesting player off of the bench as well. We'll see how Morris is able to add himself, one of the twins, to be a part of this team. But, Doc Rivers, if you blow this, if this was worse than the Western Conference Finals, people have to question you. Like, now the questions have to build up around you. Like, cause the only time that you were really strong and successful was when you were in Massachusetts with a star-studded team. When you have a star-studded team in Los Angeles, and it's not looking too good at this point in time. Like, you guys are 20 games above 500. Let me not get it too twisted. They are 20 games above 500. I think this is the team that threatens the Lakers. But if you guys don't play consistently, I don't know. I don't know how this pans out moving forward for the Clippers, especially getting blown out to a team that doesn't know their identity in the Minnesota Timberwolves. I'm not buying it. I'm not buying it. Okay, anything else you'd like to add, Matt, before we get away from the show, Ray?
Yeah, just a couple other things. The Pacers look like they are descending. They can't seem to buy a win, you know.
What?
And like you said, I didn't even know Toronto had a 15-game win streak. But Toronto is a dangerous team. As we get towards the postseason in the Eastern Conference, Toronto is a team to watch out for. Could they make the championship yet again? It's a possibility. I don't think anybody saw it coming, but they're a team to watch out for.
I agree with you. The Pacers, Now that people are figuring out where they like to go, and now that Sabonis has made the All-Star team, they know that they have to try and load up on DeMarcus Sabonis. I'm mad because it's another Thunder player that's making noise, and now he's an All-Star. You send him somewhere, but whatever. I'm going to get him and Oladipo together. But they are turning around the wrong way, so the Pacers have to stop this skid that they're on. And the Raptors, for them to be on a 14-game winning streak without Kawhi Leonard, sending Kawhi to L.A. because he wanted to go back home, Norman Powell being injured right now, and they're still able to, you know, survive the storm. And Siakam and Van Fleet are the power, you know, of this team. Salute to both of these guys. Van Fleet went off for 29 points last night, and Siakam is like the MVP carrying the role of a Kawhi Leonard, and he soaked up everything that Kawhi must have gave him. That's the only way I look at it. It's like everything that he's seen Kawhi do, he soaked it up and put it in his game, and it's working. For Pascal Siakam. I tip my hat to both of you guys because a lot of people overlooked you for the past couple of seasons. Until you guys went on that championship run last year, you guys are now a household name within the NBA. Salute to both of you. Okay, so, man, we are at the end of the show. I can't wait to get into my boys' game. It's a must-win for the Thunder today. They play the Boston Celtics. If they win this game, I'm impressed. If they win this game, I'm impressed because the Boston Celtics are playing some good ball at this point in time. But again, thank you for coming to the kitchen. Give me a plug, close out, shout out, anything that you'd like to promote as we shut it down here at the brunch.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Ty. I enjoyed it. I love basketball. I always have. Great sport. We're getting close to March Madness. College basketball is going to be very exciting. I'm very happy with what we covered in college basketball and keeping my eye on some of the teams we talked about. As far as NBA goes, I really liked bringing up the Atlanta Hawks as well. I'm hoping that they, you know, move to the future with positivity. And, you know, good show, Ty. Thanks for having me. You know, you guys can follow me on Twitter. It's GeorgiaPete0982. Have a great week, Ty. I hope to talk to you here soon.
Definitely, man. You have a good day down there in Georgia. Don't get into no car accidents. Put a shovel in the trunk if you need to. Sprinkle some salt down there or some sand if you need to. Make sure you don't get stuck in a snowbank. I don't want to hear that, man. I don't want to be feeling bad. I'm knocking on wood at this point in time to make sure my little brother is all right. Sports City, you already know what's going on in the kitchen. I think breaking news, Brian Hughes will be back in the kitchen tomorrow with the NFL free-for-all. Try and get a lot of this college basketball and NBA basketball underway back in his kitchen. Get the cafe rolling because the NBA All-Star Weekend is here. I'm like Bart Scott. Ooh, I can't wait. On that note, tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the Chefs again. And if they don't know, now they know.